Well, I can truthfully tell you that you got to watch a praying church. You got to watch them. Because when they pray, something happens. You know, there was an old acronym on PUSH. Pray until something happens. Well, can I tell you, church, that you need to continue to push. Pray until something happens. Because you're going to know that it is the will of God when you recognize the will of God. And you're going to know that by staying in His Word, staying in communion with Him, staying in prayer with Him, staying in fellowship with Him. And the way that you do that is you abide in Him. You abide in Him. Y'all can turn to chapter 15 of the book of John. May have a short prayer with you while you're doing that. Father, I ask you, Lord, to let your love, Lord, rain down on us today as we worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Father, speak to our hearts, change our lives to do your will. And Father, we just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, Pastor Ron over here at CSC, he starts out a lot of his services about, did anybody see Jesus this week? Anybody see Jesus this week? Well, you see, I seen Jesus Friday. Y'all think about it. I seen Jesus Friday. Did you see the outpouring of the love of God? Did you see that? I'm going to tell you what, everywhere I went, I saw the outpouring of the love of God. From the service there at Northside to the cemetery service there at Center Hill, and then here, when people came to fellowship and to eat, to enjoy each other, I saw the outpouring of God's love. I'm telling you, it is unmistakable when the church comes together and an outpouring of God's love. It's unmistakable. There's nothing like it that I have ever seen in all my life. Y'all know I was a long time coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I got here as fast as I could. And I ain't going to rust out for Him. I'm going to burn up for Him. Because that's the way God wired me. I got called to preach on the rooftop in Arequipa, Peru on my birthday in 1999. That's just been a few years back. Seemed like only a few years. I don't know about y'all, you know. The older you get, the more that time flies and it just gets away from you. But you know something? With time comes experience. And experiencing the love of God is what should drive you forward to give more of His love away. It should drive you forward to give more of His love away. You see, I saw that care all because of love. I saw those who paid attention to every detail for the service, for the graveside, and for the preparation of food. I saw a great attention to detail. Because you see, that's what love does, is it pays attention to detail. The love of God outpouring. What an outpouring of love, and then a labor of love. A labor of love, you know. Lily and I have been privileged to be a part of helping to take care of hundreds of people all at the same time to put banquets on, things to honor people, for funeral services, for weddings. You know, we've been privileged to have been a part of those kinds of things. So you see, I'm older now, so you know I get to kind of sit back and watch that outpouring of love through those who truly love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm speaking from experience that I saw that on Friday. I saw that labor of love for those who worked behind the counter, those who worked behind the scenes, those who prepared food, those who went out of their way to have an outpouring of love for this Cooksey family. I'm going to tell you what, that is what we do as Christians. That is what we do as followers of the Most High God. That is what we do as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we do. It's not something we have to think about doing. We just do it. You see, you're already marked. We used to tell them at our home church down there in Porter, said, no need in hurrying out after service because they done seen your car in the parking lot. They know you was here. So you don't need to hurry out, you know, like you need to be incognito or something because they done seen you. You know, that church is right on 1314 down there in Porter. So it's wide open for all the world to see. So can I tell you, you don't need to hurry out because they done seen your car? Can I tell you that part of that was the preparation of food, tables, chairs, decorations, a true love. You know, the love of God is an extravagant love. Think about it. Think of how extravagant that His love is. You see, God went over the top with His love through Jesus Christ. He went over the top. He went over the top of the top shelf, giving Jesus Christ, His only Son, for each and every one of us. I call that extravagant myself. An extravagant love, a true love. You know, we saw examples of servanthood, whom Christ has called us to be as a servant. He came to serve Himself. He has called us to serve. Can I tell you, church? You do it very well. You do it very well. Serving the outpouring of God's love. Nothing like it. I've never found anything like it. I've been all over the world and all over the United States and worked in all kinds of jobs in construction, and I've never seen anywhere but in the church that kind of outpouring of God's love. You see, the servants of God were serving other servants of God. You understand that? The servants were serving the servants, and then they served anyone else that came in the door. What an opportunity. Y'all know that a lot of times, not everybody walks through the door knows Jesus. Y'all know that? Always be on your guard to be on your best behavior to be in Jesus Christ. Always. And if you'll learn to live that way, you won't even have to think about it anymore. You'll just automatically do that. You will automatically have the same kind of outpouring of love that Christ had for each one of us. Outpouring of His love. You see, it is the fulfilling of Scripture in John 15:12. It says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." See, you just saw a picture Friday of what the love of Jesus Christ for each one of us looks like. That's what it looks like in an outpouring of His great love. That's what it looks like. That's a big picture of it. And then there were all kinds of little pictures that were in that big picture. Each one of you, all of those who in some way, shape, or form were a part of it. I'm telling you, you can't outdo God's love. You see, this is a magnificent love that was poured out on Friday. I call it magnificent. You know, sometimes the words that we have to describe things fall short of actually what they really are. And I'm limited to my vocabulary, which I try to expound upon it. I try to do better at it, although sometimes I come out with those things that don't think they're in the dictionary. But they sound good, and they prove a point. They come to a point. You see, that kind of love didn't just happen overnight. Didn't happen overnight. You see, the love of God poured out through each one of us is a long-term process. I don't know about y'all, but at one time, my wife will tell you, I was probably unlovable. Y'all ain't never been that way, I'm sure. But you know, Jesus loved me just like I was. He loved me into loving Him. He came and presented Himself. I like to tell people, He arrested me with His love and carried me away in His presence. Because that's literally what happened on that day, March 7th, 1987. He literally carried me away in His presence. His awesome love exhibited to just me as one person on a roof with no one else around. I'm telling you, you cannot outdo God's love. There's no way that you can do it. It's a long-term process, and it is a continuing effort. It is continuing effort every day. In fact, it's a lifetime of effort with a lifestyle that we should be living. A lifestyle of that outpouring of His love. We do this so we can live in God's will and for His will and by His will that we live. Because we know that there's a better outcome that's a-coming. There's a better outcome that's coming, especially when that outpouring of love falls upon you. What's that old song says? You got to love everybody. Got to love everybody. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the love of God in you will help you to love everybody. Jesus don't want to leave nobody out. He didn't leave you out. He didn't leave me out. He won't leave anybody out. Neither should we. With an outpouring of His love, you'll be able to do that. You'll be able to include those who don't want to be included. You'll be able to teach those that don't want to be taught. You'll be able to love those that don't want to be loved. Think about that. Even as unlovable as any of those in the Word of God were, Jesus still loved them. And by our standards, we probably would have just thrown them away. But I hadn't seen Jesus throw anybody away yet. He didn't throw me away. And I've told y'all before, I'm probably the chiefest of sinners in the whole building. And He didn't throw me away. You see, I got a lot to be thankful for. Because I know where I come from. So there's a process, and it's continuing, that we live in the will of God. And then, by that, you will know that you abide in Him. You abide in Him. You see, His love prepares us. Now you think about this. His love prepares us to suffer. His love prepares us to sacrifice. All of this is not anything new to Jesus Christ. But His love prepares us for every one of those things. You see, we will suffer sometimes at the hands of those that are closest to us. When we do right, when we do the will of God. Much less those that don't like you. Much less them. But you know something? With God's love in you, you're going to love them too. I think it was last Sunday or Sunday before, I told you, you got to love people that rub you the wrong way. In fact, God will just teach you some things by putting that person right next to you that rubs you the wrong way. He'll teach you how to love those who are unlovable. He'll teach you how to outpour that same love upon them and win them to Him. Believe it or not, you are His ambassador. You're supposed to be the prime example and the imitation of Christ. They're supposed to see Him in you, not you. I want them to see Him because they might not like me. Well, a lot of them didn't like Jesus. He said, don't worry about that. They didn't like me first. Don't worry about it when they don't like you, because they didn't like Him either. But that's okay. Jesus still loved him. It's a preparation to serve, suffer, and sacrifice for Him first, and then for your brothers and sisters. Was that in Galatians 6? It says, do good to all, and especially those of the household of faith. Do good to all. I don't know what part of all we don't get sometimes, but all means all, everything, every one of them, none left out. Do good to all. And then for those who are coming to the family of God. We outpour that love on those who are coming. Did you know that you will draw them if you just keep loving them? You think about it. You can do that with just a kind word. Because you see, there's many areas around the world and all across the United States, for that fact, that doing something kind for somebody, they automatically think you want something from them. Only thing I want from them is for them to give their heart to Jesus. Because the Lord takes care of us, doesn't He? I don't know about y'all, but He takes care of me. He takes care of Lily. He takes care of my family. Most fortunate guy that I know of with all my children serving God, you know? Children, grandchildren, it's just awesome. But He wants every one of us to be able to walk in His love. You see, salvation is not just to go to heaven, although that's going to be a great benefit. But you see, salvation is so that you can experience God. You can experience His love, His mercy, His grace, the awesomeness of the wonder of the universe. Everything that's around you that speaks of Him, it's shouting at each and every person, here I am, here I am. But you see, men get in the way. Men's thinking gets in the way. Let's think as God thinks, as Jesus Christ thinks. Live in the Spirit, by the Spirit, for the Spirit. If you learn to do that, you're going to walk with God. You can't help but walk with God because you won't know anything else. You get the Word in you and you get into the Word. And then nothing will stop you. You'll be unstoppable for those who think that they are unteachable, because you won't give up on them. You won't give up. You might change your tactic. You might change the way you talk about it. But the outcome will still be the same. Think about it. You can't escape God's great love because it is everywhere. It is unconditional. It is everlasting. It is relentless in its pursuit of you. It is awesome. It is full of mercy and full of grace. It is full of forgiveness. Think about it. Is our love for this world, for those who don't know Jesus, for those who do know Jesus, is our love full of mercy, full of grace, full of forgiveness? See, I can't answer that for you. You got to answer that. you know in your heart of hearts, and if you'll let Holy Spirit just kind of roam around in the rooms of your heart, He'll let you know if there's any obstacles in there that need to be kicked out. He'll let you know if there's something wrong with the attitude that you have that you need to change. I challenge you to let Him walk through the rooms of your heart. He will be quite frank with you in pointing things out. He won't beat you up like men do. He'll just point things out. That's the best thing you'll ever do, just like the little song said, have a little talk with Jesus. Don't just tell Him all about your troubles, although that's a good thing. Tell Him how much you love Him, and then show it. Spend that time loving on Him, the one who loved you unconditionally, who was in relentless pursuit of you till you came to Him. And now He is in relentless about keeping you. You think about it. He's relentless about that. He wants to take care of you. He wants you to do well. He wants you to love others as He loved you. He wants you to do these things. All we got to do is set about doing it. You see, we need to learn how to abide in Him, and we learn by experiencing Him. Because you see, once you've experienced something, you become responsible for it. You can't say, I don't know anymore. Once you have experienced it, no matter what it is, whether it's God's love or anything else, once you have experienced it, you become responsible for it, good or bad. Good or bad. You become responsible. We need to learn to live in His love and then give His love away. Outpour that love on all you come in contact with. His extravagant love was poured out by Jesus Christ and by Holy Spirit living within each and every one of us. Because I'm going to tell you what, if the Spirit lives in you, you're going to have a hard time doing anything other than that if He truly lives in you. Because Holy Spirit ain't never going to steer you wrong. He's going to steer you in the right direction. Might not be easy direction. Might not be something you want to do in that direction. But it'll be the right direction. Because you see, He's all about making sure that you are in God's will. He's all about that. That's why Jesus said He never leave us nor forsake us. He is our comforter. He is our helper. Lean on Him so that you can pour out that extravagant love on each and every person that you come in contact with. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. That extravagant love being poured out. Extravagant love. Over in John 15, 1, we'll read a little bit here. I know y'all know John 15, 1. I love it, man. It's all in red. You can take this to the bank. It's a real good deposit. It ain't going to bounce. It's going to stay right there. It's a good deposit. It says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, you got to watch them vine dressers now, because they're going to do what's best for you. You got to watch them, because them rascals will hurt you. They'll cut you. You think about that. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. He gets to a pruning process, don't He? That's what I'm saying when I tell you that the vine dresser will hurt you. But you see, that hurt is for your good. You know why He does that pruning? Because He loves you. He just wants you to produce more fruit. And if you'll prune off, you know, we had a big storm here just the other day. fact, a couple of days in a row, didn't we? Man, I've seen trees that had the tops knocked out of them by lightning, seen them blown over by the wind. I've seen a natural pruning process take place where all the dead wood was knocked out of trees. The trees are still standing. All the leaves were still waving in the wind and clapping their hands to God. But the dead limbs was out on the ground. That's a natural pruning process by wind. Can I tell you that there's a natural pruning process in the supernatural? And it comes through the pruning done by the vine dresser. Believe it or not, we all need some pruning every once in a while. You know what pruning on a good, healthy plant does? It only enhances the growth of the fruit. It gives more root system. It ain't growing something that ain't producing nothing. It's growing that which produces fruit. So you cut off that that's not producing to get the vine and the branches to produce more. Can I tell you that Jesus wants you to produce more? I told you earlier, it's a continuing process. It don't ever stop. It don't ever stop. That's why I tell people, you just got to keep on keeping on. Never give in, give out, or give up. Life is rough sometimes. Maybe for some of y'all it's been real easy all your life. But you know, life is rough at best. The goodness is only from God. His goodness, His mercy, His grace, His love. That's where we need to abide. Is in His, that is the abiding place for you in Jesus Christ, is in His love. We're going to get to that. It's in here. The abiding place. We want to all be in that abiding place with Him. Listen to this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. If you are the branch attached to the vine, be producing fruit. Don't just hang out. Don't do like that poor old fig tree that Jesus cursed and it died because all it has is a bunch of leaves on it. You see, check the tree. Check the vine. Check the branches. See if you're producing. I don't know about y'all, but you know it says in here that that them branches ain't producing nothing. Guess what the vine dresser does? He comes around, clips them off, and throws them on the ground. And they dry up and wither. And then what happens to them? They get burned up. I'm going to tell you what, if that don't scare you, I don't know what does. I don't want to be burned up by hellfire and damnation. I don't want to be that way. I'd rather burn up with the fire of God. Yeah. That's the way I want to burn up. I'm going to do my dead level best not to rust out, even if I can't move. Because my mouth will still work. My brain will still work. You know, I did a service for a lady one time. Did you know that her number one thing that her family talked about for her is the number one song. Even when this lady could not remember anything or anyone, she always remembered the song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." She would sing that song over and over and over. What a testimony of how God keeps us even when our body has failed us. Even when we can't do things of our own selves. The spirit within her was still speaking to the nurses and the doctors and the family that was all still surrounding. I have never forgot that. Jesus loves me, this I know. Greatest piece of theology that you'll ever hear. You can read this book from cover to cover, and there ain't nothing greater than that. It's just awesome. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus Christ in your life to help you bear fruit, to be pruned and go through that pruning process and not pull away. I don't know about y'all, I don't like being cut. Do y'all? Every once in a while I cut myself, and that's a painful thing. That's stupid, actually. Don't be doing that. But in that pruning process, it can be painful. It can hurt. It can be downright uncomfortable. But it'll help you. It'll help you produce more fruit. It'll help you walk closer to Him. Because you see, when things come into our lives, don't run away from God. Run to God. Run to God. Because I'm going to tell you what, in the end, He is all that matters. He's the only one that matters. You know, we have all these things that we think are so precious in this life when God is the most precious thing that you'll ever have. Jesus Christ is the most precious person that you'll ever have within you. Holy Spirit is the most precious person to come live with you and in you and for you. Precious. Beyond that, I'm telling you, the words don't do justice. It just doesn't do justice. I don't know how to express it any better than that. My vocabulary is limited. So if you abide in me and in my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now I've heard people use that scripture on all kinds of stuff that they wanted. Well, I desire this. And I said, well, I don't think it's quite talking about what you're exactly saying there. Because if you desire Him and His love is in you and that's all that you know, then you're going to desire what He desires. You're going to love what He loves. You're going to hate what He hates. Did you know that's the only time that you can hate something and get by with it? You got to hate what God hates. Be careful with that hate. It's hard to remain righteous in hate. It's called righteous anger. Be careful. Be careful. Make sure you check it out with God first. And then he says, by this my Father is glorified. You want to bring glory to God? You want to bring awesome praise to God? You want to let everybody know who you are? If you just glorify God in every conversation, that's the way my little wife does. No matter where we are, who we're talking to, perfect strangers, really good friends, she just glorifies God. She gives glory to God. I don't care if it's the weather or the kids that are there or the food we just ate or making a point about something. She's glorifying God. I give that to her credit because she looks at things through the eyes of God, through the Holy Spirit. She looks at everybody as the same, no matter what color, no matter what creed, no matter where they're sitting, no matter what they said. Glorify God. Then everyone will know who you are and who you serve. Because who or what you love, you will commit yourself to. Who or what you love. See, if you only love yourself, you're only committing to yourself. And people can spot that right off. It's all about me, myself, and I. I know y'all ain't never known nobody like that. They're still out there, though, me, myself, and I. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Can I tell you that a disciple doesn't do anything that the master don't do? I heard a definition of sin years and years ago. Real simple definition. Anything Jesus wouldn't do. Real simple. Anything Jesus wouldn't do. So if you get into his word and you know what he did and you know what he told them not to do, then you're going to know what to do and what not to do. Anything Jesus did not do is sin. Abide in him. Let him abide in you. Verse 9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. You know, he says that a bunch in John 15. Abide in my, live in my love. If you learn to live in his love, live in that spirit, then nothing else will come out of you. If you learn to live in it. Because no matter what situation you get in, you're going to find God in that situation. I tell people all the time, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how hard it gets, God is there. I've told y'all before, he might be over in a corner somewhere, but he's there if you'll go looking for him. But if you don't go looking for him, I promise you, you ain't going to see him. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy, his joy, Jesus' joy may remain in you and that your joy will be full. You see, I know a whole bunch of y'all in here, and I know the joy that is in your heart. I know the joy that it is, especially coming to the house of God. It is a joy. Now, see, not everybody views it like that, but a true believer, one who is after God all the time, one that is after people all the time, one that is in the Word and in prayer, they have joy in their heart. In fact, the Bible says that his people are cheerful people. They're happy people. They are joyful people because they have a love within them that is joy unspeakable. Abide in his love. Let that love outpour on other people. And they too will see Jesus in you and they'll want what you have. That's the best way to get somebody to come. I'm not talking about coming to this building. I'm talking about coming to Jesus. Now, we want them to come to this building because they'll be surrounded by people that love Jesus. They'll be surrounded by people that will help them, teach them, train them, show them the way. And then once they're able to stand on their own two feet, eating of the Word of God and not just on the milk, then they'll be ready to go out as a disciple to win others. That's the process. It's multiplication. Multiplication. I don't know how many are in here today, but all we got to do is win one person, every one of us, and bring him here, this congregation double overnight. Think about it. You want to grow church? Win somebody. I don't know any other way to do it. I don't know any other way to tell you. But you never give up. You never give up. Never give up. And then he said, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. And how did he love us? He laid down his life. He laid down his life. The abiding is in his love, and we are willing to lay down our lives. Why don't you come, Sister Ruth? Sister Ruth's going to tickle a little ivory there for us. You see, in his love is the safest place you'll ever be. It's the safest thinking that you will ever have. Living in his spirit, living in his love. Because then that kind of levels out the playing field out there. You might know there are no good, dirty scoundrel, okay? But that love will make you treat them as you should. Come to Jesus. Let me show you a better way. Let me tell you about a way. Let me tell you what happened to me. I can't tell you what happened to somebody else. Let me tell you what happened to me and how I came to Jesus. Let me tell you what He's done in my heart and in my life. Your testimony is the greatest preaching that you will ever have in a one-on-one experience. It's just awesome. Before you do that, sister, let me do this. There was a song written about 30 years ago. It ain't very old compared to some hymns, but it's simply entitled His Love. Listen to this song. It says, His love is higher than the mountains. His love is deeper than the seas. His love stretches through the problems that surround me. His love reaches to me. His love is continually reaching to each and every one of us. He's continually reaching to the world that don't love Him. That's the kind of love we need in us to reach out to those that don't want Him. Exhibit who He is through that love. It goes on to say, His love is stronger than the angels and demons. His love keeps me in my life's darkest hour. His love secures me on a pathway to heaven. His love is my strength and my power. And then it goes on, the last verse says, His love is sweeter than the sweetest honey. His love is better than anything at all times. His love satisfies the deepest of hunger. His love is Jesus, is mine. His love.